Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Live. We're live.
We're live.
Never any problems live. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan again.
And I don't have any feelings of deja vu whatsoever.
No, it's just one of those days. The funny thing is I had this perfectly set up. Like, it's unbelievable. I got it all hotkeyed. It worked last week. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do a couple tweaks here and there. And with every, I should have known, with every one thing you do, it just absolutely fucks up everything else.
Yeah,
so I just had to disable some things that I had set up before for this one. And lo and behold, it works. It's funny because I got a message from my internet service provider. I got a call and I thought it was because my contract was up, which it is. We've been having issues with YouTube, so we decided to, because we didn't have any of the live streams backed up, that we would, just in case we eventually get banned, which is the inevitable
future
the inevitable
of the show.
Run of the ATT YouTube live stream is we're banned from YouTube. That's where this ends. But so we started downloading all our old live streams, right? Which is 7 years, well, not 7 years, probably like 5 years of live streams and videos and stuff. It's an ungodly amount. I think I downloaded 65, 50 gigabyte files.
Jesus.
over the course, and I could only do so many during the day or else it would just crush my computer. So what happened is I almost, Google will give you like a pack of like 65. And I was like, I made it to like, you only have 5 days to download everything. So I made it like halfway. I made it halfway to downloading. And then I was like, well, whatever. I'll just submit a new one and get a new 5 days. And then as soon as I got the new one, I went, what are the odds that they don't pack them the same?
Oh, you know, no. What I mean?
So like number one doesn't have the same stuff. So just on a whim, I was like, let me download number one and just to make sure they line up. And they don't. It's randomized every time. And I was like, oh my God. So then I had to like, for like 5 days, I was out in meth laboratories, like every like 4 hours on a timer, like starting the next ones to make sure I had enough time to download them all. So I got a call from my internet service provider being like, what are you using your internet for? And I was like, what? I was like, I don't know, gaming. I did some streaming and stuff. They're like, your usage is, it's like ungodly the amount of like usage you've had in the past month. You've like quadrupled what you did like all
last
year.
You're using more bandwidth than the entire island.
Your whole neighborhood, you're using the bandwidth of your whole neighborhood.
Yeah. And so I had to download all the YouTube files I've ever made. And he's like, is that something that's going to continue on? I went, no. He's like, okay, we thought it was an anomaly or something happened and something was going on and on your end or our end. I was like, no, I was like, just me. It's all good though.
Dragged down everybody's like download rate for across the entire fucking city. Yeah.
And now before we get into tonight's ATT Live, because there's so much stuff we want to go over tonight, but I made a promise. Last week I talked about the videos that were sent in. Let me just make sure there's not a name on these before Yeah. Okay. This is the video that was sent to us, a UFO video. So if you sent this in, yeah, sorry, listen, he was worried he's going to get in trouble. You're not getting any trouble. You got a video of a bug here, my friend. So no one's going to get mad at you. You're not breaking, breaking any headlines here. All right. So without further ado, this is the video that got sent to us. Oh, who's that? AstroCat Gaming. Oh, with a little, oh, wow. Thank you, AstroCat Gaming.
Fantastic.
Oh, the $9.99 gets you Owen Wilson?
Gets you Owen Wilson. Yeah. Gets you wow.
Well, I think there's different ones for different amounts. I think that one is, yeah, gets you a little Owen Wilson. Thank you. Cheers, AstroCat Gaming.
Oh, yeah.
So this was sent in to us. This is what I was talking about last week. Got in a huge fight with this person. And again, send us your UFO videos. Again, I have seen every UFO video that gets submitted to MUFON everywhere. So, you know, just send it in. But you're going to get... Hey, Sergio, thank you. Woo! We'll have to buy some Modelos. Right now, we've just got Philips Blue Buck on the go. Without further ado, let's check this out. It's only 22 seconds. So you see a car come to a gate.
Does that have audio?
22 seconds, and no. Your world will be changed forever.
So there's this... So you see this little thing there? If you were looking for something else, you're mistaken.
That little crawler.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I looked at that and I immediately, like, first look, I was like, okay, what am I looking for? Did I miss it? But like how I break this down is, again, I've seen so many fucking Ring cameras, so many videos and videos of the perspective. And this person claimed that this was some sort of 20-foot, 30-foot thing above the car. And I'm going, no, whatever this thing is on the camera. And it's looking down at the car, right? And you can see it kind of crawling and wriggling around. And then it turns like... It's to me, it's something on the lens, and it's just whatever the low light lens is flicking with, is kind of messing with it. And we got into a 24-hour heated exchange about that. So chat, let us know what you think. Let us know what you think. And those of you wondering if that was me or Owen Wilson saying, wow, I guess we'll never know. One and the same. Let's fire up the Randomtron. Let's see what we got to talk about today.
You firing it up? Didn't you get it?
Yeah, did you hear it? Are you not hearing it?
Oh, okay. I just don't hear it. Okay. Can I enter the Matrix?
Woo! First up, Cryptic Crush-a-thon.
Oh.
Look at that.
Good matchup.
Look at that matchup. We got Mothman versus the Rougarou. I didn't know. It's Rougarou has French Canadian origins. I thought it was Cajun. It's moved down to Cajun.
Oh no.
Right? But the
losing Brayden. We're interesting losing match.
You losing me?
Oh, you're back.
Too much bandwidth on the Randomtron and all these templates. Interesting matchup tonight in the polls. I mean, for the Cryptic Crush-a-thon, you got the two heavy hitters, the Rougarou, you know, land-based werewolf, easily confused by, is it more than 13 pennies?
Yes, if you throw a collection of more than 13 pennies, he is compulsively, compelled to count those pennies. Much like vampire lore, but yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah. So it just doesn't know what to do. So, you know, it's a tough one. They're both size and weight, pretty similar. I mean, Rougarou, sharp claws, he's got a nasty bite. That was his, you know, his forte. So it's really anyone's.
The Mothman is the bringer of doom, though.
Yes, the harbinger of doom. We don't know a lot about Mothman because there is no survivors.
Any right? mass casualty accident in the world's ever seen has probably been orchestrated by Mothman himself.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's interesting. So we want to hear from you. You guys, let us know. We got a poll up. Let us know what you think. Who's gonna take this Mothman or Rougarou? We'll take a look at the end of the show, what the polls and what the actual outcome is. But like I said, it's evenly stacked. I mean, if Rougarou is gonna get a hand of him, I imagine those claws would damage those wings if he can't fly.
What's the weather like in the battle?
Oh, it's gonna be inside a ring, so it's a dome. So it's you wouldn't have any weather wouldn't be a consideration.
No wind, no rain. No. Affect the Mothman's wings.
No.
Okay.
Hey, who wants a Pepsi? Hey, thank you, Trent Jones. Trent Jones, thank you for that little tip there. Get this man a Pepsi. Now it's the other thing is to me is like, that's going to be the deciding factor. If the Rougarou can get the Mothman to stay on the ground, then I think the Rougarous might dice him up. But that's a big if, right? They're both heavyweight advantage. So if Mothman comes flying down like a, I was going to say like a peregrine falcon, but I guess he's going to come down like a moth.
Slow and kind of erratic.
A little like,
bouncing around.
How many lights are in the arena, Dan? Is this going to be an issue? Is this going to be an issue? Are lights going to play a factor? Are the bright lights going to be too bright?
It could be a factor, but even if it were, then the Mothman would just stay up in the rafters. Like, I mean, he may strike from the lights. Who knows? Using them to his advantage.
I could definitely see like a pretty big advantage going to Mothman and this one just for the flight. Cause you come down on top of him, or if he's got a pocket full of pennies, game over, right?
Both of them have some supernatural tricks up their sleeves. I mean, if you look at the Mothman, he probably has some small form of prescience at this point, since he is, as you guys said, he's the harbinger of doom and or guardian, considered something like that. Like so he may have a type of, you know, predictive talent. He may be able to see a little bit into the future, predict movements and such. I think also people have, you know, described the eerie glow that the Mothman has with his red eyes. So maybe that plays into that might play into something. Some kind of hypnotic effect is what some people kind of claim when you stare into the crimson red eyes of the Mothman. Rougarou also has some supernatural abilities, if I recall correctly from our case file, that he does. There is some type of magical abilities associated with the Rougarou. If I remember, some kind of, I think it also has some kind of either psychic or like not telekinetic, but perhaps like,
wasn't
some
the
kind
Rougarou
of
really, really good at dice games or something? Wasn't that how you become a Rougarou?
You play too much dice.
Too much dice, so, to make too much coin.
And you can become a Rougarou.
Yeah, we'll see if the Mothman falls for the old dice trick, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, it's if you pair these together, I would have to, as much as the chat's going leaning towards heavily, I think the power of flight. We know Mothman probably has some claws as well, so I would also have to lean into Mothman taking this one. But again, we'll look at more into the show. I think everything we're going to talk about from here on out basically falls into space news.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overrule. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Should be like UFO news or some shit, because goddamn, I cannot wait for this next congressional UFO hearing, because they're going to have some stuff to talk about. And the worst part about it is I wish these last two like UFO events had come out like, you know, like a month or two earlier. So maybe some questions could have been asked, because what's going to happen is we're going to have to wait till the next congressional UFO hearing. They're going to ask about these two things. They're going to go, oh, well, you know, we'll get back to you. And we're going to have to wait another 6 months down the line until we get something back from that. Probably the biggest story that's been popping off on UFO Twitter, you know, making headlines around, is that, you know, once again, we have a government whistleblower coming out and saying that, you know, the United States has recovered crafts of non-human origin.
For a while. They've been recovering them for a while.
And then actively hiding it. Actively hiding it. And like keeping the secret from us, right? Hiding the truth. Now, what do you guys think about, what was his name? David Grunch?
David Grush.
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 Grush. Grush or Grushin? No, I'm not sure. I haven't watched any of the video things. Yeah, he's supposed to give an hour-long interview tonight on News Nation, program on Hulu.
It's the Nation of News, Dan.
Right.
It's right in the name.
Right. But it's broadcast on Hulu, so they're picking him up, and I guess they had him, or they're having him come on tonight. I think it's either happened or is happening right now, that they have an hour-long interview with David Grush, who is, you know, give it a little background on him. He's a former intelligence official who led some of the analysis of the unexplained anomalous phenomenon, UAP, which he worked for the U.S. Department of Defense, one of the agencies within there. And he has gone ahead and made these claims that, like Zell said, that the U.S. government has been collecting non-human craft for decades, and that they've been keeping that information illegally from Congress. And he's gone ahead and filed a complaint that he suffered illegal retaliation for his disclosure, for his confidential disclosure. So stuff that was kept confidential, but when he went on, you know, when he went ahead and talked about these things, that he suffered some kind of retaliation. Exactly what informed, I'm not 100% clear about what it is.
And from what I've gathered and what I've read and some interviews and stuff that I've listened to, is that he's not just saying this. He's come with some classified reports that is basically pointing who to talk to, what questions to ask to uncover this information. Because from what I've heard, it's like, it's one of those like friend of a friend kind of things where it's like, he's like, hey, Liz, I didn't see this stuff, but I know these people in these situations have.
Yeah. Found craft, fragments of craft, non-human origin. They don't necessarily say like extraterrestrial origin, just like unknown.
What makes this one so exciting, to the UFO community, is that other intelligence officials, both retired and non-retired and like active, have seemed to have gotten on and kind of corroborated either his story, Grush's story, or they have voted pretty much like they've backed up that Grush is who he says he is, and that his credentials are legit. Like he is a you know, most of them going over like his exemplary service record and the way, like the ways that he served the United States government. And he's worked in his certain roles. Like they've said that, yeah, his credibility is not to be taken lightly. Like it is something that him coming out and saying these things lends it a bit of heft, lends it some weight. And so those officials have said, yeah, he's you know, if he's saying these things, you might want to take him more seriously than some dude preaching it on a street corner.
Yeah. It's what's going on, Mason Peterson. Some of the things that, you know, I've seen online and popping off is that people were like, after this came out, they were like, shit, what's the guy who's running the congressional UFO hearings? Like, what's the guy's name? Do you remember the guy's name?
Kirkpatrick. Dan? You're talking about Kirkpatrick?
Yeah. So everyone was shitting on him because they're like, well, if this just came out and this guy's saying that they're hiding it from him, like he might be in the know, which means then he's maybe not answering truthfully in these congressional UFO hearings. Now, the thing is like, I kind of went back and listened to the second one. And I found it interesting, just kind of popped in my head that he never, I wish someone would have asked him, because he consistently says like, yeah, from my knowledge, we have nothing from light years away, like non, like extraterrestrial. We have nothing. He's like very specific on like outer space, nothing from light years away. But I was like, I wish someone there was said like what Zell said, intraterrestrial.
Could be.
Right? Like are these things maybe coming from the seas? Right. And that's why he was so specific in the broad. It was like, listen, right? Or if that's the thing, he's like, I know we didn't recover any of these things from space, but if it's an archaeological find, he's like, yeah, we didn't find it in space. We found it on Earth. Like it was buried. Right. And he's like, I'm not lying.
Bob Lazar's just like stretching his hands right now. He's like, I told you.
Fucking toe to so.
Yeah. And also, I'd also say like, it is a UAP task force. Like their responsibility just from the name alone is aerial phenomenon. So it's like, yeah. I would wonder if those kinds of discoveries would be put under their purview. Like,
yeah. Bullet. There's such semantics. Like, well, they found it underground. It wasn't in the air. It's not. Unfortunately, no one's asked about those and we don't have a task force. So,
or just like when they submit their request for information, like to the other agencies, they'd be like, well, we don't have to give them that one because yeah, we found it underground or we recovered it after it crashed. It wasn't in the air. It was in pieces on the ground. So I don't, you know, it could be something like that.
Yeah, possibly. Now I kind of like, There's more. Obviously, we're going to listen to, you know, once this is done, I'm going to watch I'm tuning to News Nation. That's where I get all my news every day. I've never heard of it before, but from now on, this is where I'm getting all my news. And I'm going to watch this because I'm interested to see what happens. Because as this story popped up, like I get weird deja vu from stuff like this because we've been covering this topic and doing this kind of research for so long. Did you guys not think like, didn't we just do something about this a couple of years ago? Like, did that ring a bell for you guys? Like seeing the non-human craft story?
I mean, that's something that in its various forms, like we've always seemed to talk about when it's like those who have come forward, you know, in some way or another through official channels or kind of on their own, maybe speaking at a convention or, you know, speaking at a press conference that somebody is holding, it's usually something to this effect that it's, yeah, recovering non-terrestrial or non-human craft. Yeah.
So I kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, like looking into this, and cause I was like, God damn, I really feel like we've done this before. And I was like, this is new news, but I was like, I wonder if this is an old story. So the people who wrote this, where was it? The debrief.
Yeah.
The debrief are, I have their names written down, Leslie Keen and Ralph Blumenthal. Mm-hmm. They wrote the article.
Right.
Now, if you go back in our space news, you probably have to go back 2 years or something. It might be on the intro of a case file. But we talk about a story from the New York Times about an Eric Davis who claims... that the government's hiding basically the same story, crafts of non-human origin. And they talk about all this stuff. And Eric Davis is he's worked on Skinwalker Ranch. He's worked with Robert Bigelow and all this stuff. And this article came out in 2020 in the New York Times. And I know we talked about it cause I remember.
Well, that was the original, the Arrow program, the Leslie Keen and the Ralph Blumenthal, like they broke that story about the original one where we sank a bunch of money, you know, $800,000 went into there and like, what did we get? Exactly. And
they're like, they're looking for goblins.
Yeah. Or and that's where you get Robert Bigelow and he came in at a big player and you know, his hangar in Las Vegas where he's keeping all his meta materials or recovered meta materials that they've gotten apparently.
Now, the interesting thing is, that this article on Debrief or that article by the New York Post was also by Leslie Keen and Ralph Blumenthal. They're the same authors.
Yeah.
And that story kind of went on the big circuit, right? Did the big circuit, the big clickbait circuit around everything. We touched it. We're like, we can't wait to find information. And seemingly there's been no information from that until now. And it's very similar to the same story. Now, I'm not, you know, saying that, I'm still cautiously optimistic that we might get something cool with that because we have the UFO task force going on and the congressional UFO hearings, that maybe we might get some more answers to this. But it did strike me as interesting that it's the same people writing the same articles with this, like the same, this exact same thing, right? So I'm a little hesitant on that point.
Grush makes a lot of claims about what kind of went on. He makes comments about the recoveries, or again, like we said, he makes
a lot of claims for his friend of a friend.
Right. He didn't have any direct interaction with any of these recoveries or these recovery efforts. Apparently, like, he's just kind of saying things that he's heard during his time working within the United States Department of Defense agencies. And he's talking about how, you know, the U.S. government has recovered like things from partial fragments up until like completely intact vehicles that they have recovered, you know, and that there are within the U.S. government and among its allies and defense contractors, they've all kind of like piecemealed out these things that they've contracted people to reverse engineer some of these materials and some of these craft. You know, when they did the analysis on these, he's saying that they determined that these objects were of exotic origin, you know, non-human intelligence or extraterrestrial mm-hmm. or unknown origin. It's not exactly clear, but they're not, you know, characterized as pretty much non-human, that they wouldn't be able to be built with the current technology that we have. And they base this conclusion apparently on the vehicle morphologies and the material science testing and the possession that these materials have of types of unique atomic arrangements and radiological signatures that they hadn't seen before. So therefore, you know, they came to the conclusion that these are not things that are manufactured here on Earth or with techniques that are currently known within the defense community.
Well, and the interesting thing too is he's also saying that, like, he, aside from crafts and stuff, he had like non-human materials, non-terrestrial materials, which kind of, you know, goes hand in hand with like Tom DeLonge and what they're doing at to the Stars Academy, and their claims of having non-terrestrial materials. Like, it's. I'm like, just show why can't you go on News Nation? I'm sure News Nation, are they like, how booked is News Nation that they can't get you on here to show us some non-terrestrial materials?
And furthermore, he even went to apparently he did like another. He did like two, he's done like one interview so far. I know he did like a preliminary interview for News Nation, and then like the big one was coming out this week, I think. And like in this follow-up interview after like the debrief stuff came out, and then it got published in a couple other, I think like The Guardian did and like had an issue, had a thing about it, popped up in a couple tabloids and things like that. I think The Guardian and The Hill kind of are the two most reputable ones at this point. And then there was some rumor of like a New York Times, a Washington Post, like they had gotten wind of the story, but never, they wanted to take a minute to verify some sources, and they haven't put anything out about it yet. But Grush went on to claim that not only did they recover materials and craft, but they also recovered the pilots of those
bodies.
That they have recovered bodies of these of the intelligences or whatever the organisms that were seemingly piloting this craft or were being transported by these craft. You know, the sizes of these craft apparently varied very much. Like, they were either, he said one of the craft was like as large as a football field.
Thank you, Leon Cherry. Andrew, interject. Thanks for that. Sorry.
And then he's also saying that the U.S. actually took possession of a bell-like craft, which Benito Mussolini's government had recovered in northern Italy as far back as 1933.
Yeah, De Glocka, man. That's De Glocka, right? We've seen plans about it, but it's I'm so when these stories come out, I'm like, instantly I want to know more. So I'm so excited for the interview tonight, and I'm so excited for the next UFO congressional hearing, because I'm hoping that
I'm not holding my breath at all.
No, I know exactly what's going to happen. I'll tell you right now, what's going to happen is the next one, they're going to go, what about this guy? And they're like, well, unfortunately, you didn't ask about this guy last time. So we'll see what we can do for next time.
I think questions? I think the Guardian reached out to Nick Pope, our buddy, our personal friend of
personal,
the show.
Yeah. Personal friend.
and Nick Pope was pretty cautious about his kind of coming to a conclusion that these claims are all that they seem to be. He was saying that there's probably three key pieces of information that we really need that will lend more weight to the claims that Grush is making. You say number one, like, you need the project name or the office name of what Grush was working on, or what these where these recovery efforts were going through. Also, number two, you'd probably want to know who the person in charge of that was, the director or the commanding officer, whoever was kind of put in charge of these efforts, and then probably what agency, you know, third and finally, what agency that was embedded in. So whether it's the CIA, any of the alphabet, you know, FBI, CIA, DOD, DARPA, whatever, you know, any of those, like, where is it coming from? Those, if you get any one of those, like, you'll get closer to figuring out exactly what's going on.
Or you got to show a craft.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too. Show us the bodies.
Like, if you had the, think about it. If you had that craft, you would do the full world circuit. You'd be the world's most famous man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I have an alien craft. Here it is. Come look at it. Take some pictures. Then you're dead, I guess. Dead and gone.
Yeah, yeah. It's in my garage, I guess.
They steal it, and then you make one out of wood and tinfoil. And they're like, that's just wood and tinfoil. You're like, I had the real one, but it was stolen.
The
story is all this time.
I had a real Bigfoot body, but then he said, this is just a bunch of possums. Like, well, you know, I just made a replica of it.
The CIA stole it. Before we get into the next story, a bunch of hypotheticals is being asked in the chat. I'm going to pull one up here. this is the first one I'm seeing. It's from Andrew Ward. He says, would you rather eat pizza till you explode or chicken nuggets until you explode?
Probably pizza.
But explode, does it just mean like it's shit in your pants?
No, I think he means like you literally, your skin tears and you're like, so full of pizza that you just erupt.
What was that, like Yoshi's Island commercial? There was a commercial for, I remember, like, a long time, so seared in my memory, where the guy just like keeps eating until he explodes. It was like a Super Nintendo game. I just remember the ad for it. I think it was Yoshi's Island.
Well, it's no-brainer, because pizza is way better.
Yeah, I think pizza is way better, and I think pizza could do it to me. Like, if the goal is to actually explode, I think pizza could do it, because I don't know if there's a number of chicken nuggets that I eat where I die in any scenario. Like, I don't think there's a lethal limit of chicken nuggets, but I definitely think there's a lethal limit of pizza that I can eat.
Of the cheese and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
the dough.
And everything. It's just so heavy, but like, ugh, dead.
But yeah, it's a Yoshi's Island commercial. I just found it on YouTube. The guy keeps eating until he fucking explodes. It is disgusting. that was like a real commercial.
The next story we're going to talk about tonight. This is a case file in the making. Like, we are at the early stages of seeing a future case file, stuff that we're going to be talking about, like, much like various encounters that we've talked about throughout time. We're at the early stages of this one. We don't know witnesses' names yet. We don't have a lot of interviews with the people. But if you don't know, I'm talking about the Las Vegas UFO sighting that happened. I think it was May 1st. May 1st has happened. An absolute incredible story coming from Vegas. Basically, what happened is, the thing that sparks this initial call is a 911 call. And the 911 call is basically someone like being like, something came down in my backyard. And there's 8-foot creatures in the backyard. There's creatures. You can go look up the YouTube audio of this. Type in Las Vegas UFO 911 call. I think if we play it, I think instant ban. We'll just get that strike a little bit quicker if we play it. I think if you go to the guy, one of the witnesses, is his YouTube channel is Alien Space Society 51. And he has one video where he kind of posts a compilation of everything. But his 911 call, he calls, he goes, there's something, there's some 8-foot people. And then he goes, they're not people. They're some sort of creatures. They got big eyes. And the cop, the 911 operator's like what? And he's like, they're not people. They're some sort of creatures. They're standing back there. Something came down. Right? We've heard these wild phone calls before. We've heard all this. But the interesting thing about this one is we start to instantly get cooperation. Earlier in the night, just before that 911 call, Las Vegas police officers were responding to another call where their body cam catches something coming down from the sky, right? And they see something and they make a comment to it. So I think I can show this video, this portion of the video, silent. You see the police officers talking to someone and, oh no, this isn't the body cam. This is them talking about the creature. I'll see if I can queue it up here in a second. But basically, like, the body cam catches this green light coming down. And then these officers are talking about, like, yeah, I saw some lights coming down. Then they receive this 911 call of being like, hey, listen, there's someone calling saying there's 8-foot creatures. And they say, they're caught on the body cam saying, the only reason they're taking this call seriously is because officers in the area saw something come down. Like, corroborated the evidence. They're like, and they have it on a body cam footage of something like some green light looks like it's just coming down from the sky. And I just found it right here. So let's view this. This is officer body cam from earlier in the night. If you watch the just above this, the bright white light to the right of the car, you'll see something coming down here. And they're dealing with something else when you see, boom, something coming down, some sort of green light.
Yeah, some greeny blue light.
Yeah. And then they go to the call. They go to the call and talk to people. They're like, yeah, we saw some. We had 8-foot creatures in the back and they vanished. And if you go to Alien Space Society 51, he talks about his account. He says, like, hey, I'm not trying to be famous. He's only posted one video. It's not like he has a previous YouTube channel. Like, he's posted this. And then he goes, like, I'm not trying to get famous. I'm just telling you what happened and letting you, like, this is it. This is obviously going viral. Everyone's talking about this. You can go check out the videos. There's other videos of people, because they had cell phones, of people like looking through the cell phones, and you can kind of see some tractors in the back and people are zooming in trying to make what they can to see if they, like, is that the alien? Is this the alien? I think I have one of these. Hold on. Let's see if I can find this. So this is one of the footage from the family, right? They're filming and they're looking for these things. Hold on. And someone freezes this. So that's a truck he was working on when something came down. And now someone freezes it. And they say that this, what you're seeing here is a head and one of the eyes obstructed. Right? But I'm like, come on. I mean, goddamn, that's hard. It's hard to say, right? Like, it's a tough one for me to.
The aliens just standing in the middle of the road under a street lamp in the distance.
Yeah. And this is the other one here of them when they, like, after they call and they're like, they're shooting the video. So some people say if you watch the fence line, there's something that moves in the fence line
at the bottom of the fence. When you, I watched this one, they say there's, like, you can see the eyes and, like, the hands at the bottom
and something, yeah, moves off to the side right of the way.
It's like right here. If you were to pause it and zoom in,
but this guy shines a light, you know what I mean? Like,
if
you
hopped over the fence the other way though, quickly.
Yeah, maybe. And then they run back.
So they heard it.
She seems to be looking at the fence.
Oh, you just put your gun in your pocket. It's like a gun.
Oh, he does have a pistol.
You just put your gun in the pocket.
Look at this. Hold on. That's a pistol, right? Look at that. Do you see that?
He was just putting that in his pocket. I mean, he's just trying to put it in his pocket. That doesn't seem safe to me, but okay.
No.
I don't know if that's... All right.
Right. Interesting stuff though, coming up from there. So it's like, it's weird where this one's going to go. Obviously George, our boy, George Knapp already on.
He's all over it. Yeah.
Sure.
He's got a binder full of notes.
Yep.
Now he's said basically already, he's like, I've interviewed the witnesses and he cannot detect a hint of a hoax.
Then he's at odds with James Fox, who did like a full 180. James Fox, producer, director of, or what was it? The Virginia. And then he did a couple of the documentaries that we've talked about on the show. The most recent one what was it called? Not the Phenomenon. It was the other one. I think he did the Phenomenon too. But
he did the Phenomenon. The other one is
the one we just talked about.
That's the Virginia one.
Yeah, we just talked about that one. But he was full on board. And then like within like 48 hours or like 24, 48 hours, he was like, no. He's like, this is a hoax. Like,
but why? Did he give any reasons?
There's some.
Because he also produced, in my opinion, one of the worst UFO documentaries I've ever seen. It was just rehashing of everything and had one guy crying in a field.
There's some stuff running around that the videos that at least the one really official one that made the first rounds, the one that everybody was like zooming in and really making real, you know, red circles everywhere and everybody trying to be like, yeah, this is the alien.
If you squint and turn your head sideways.
If you like watch it upside down and you kind of, if you put your hands in front of your eyes and look at it, then you'll be able to see the alien creature opening up its eyes or something like that and everything. He was saying that there's some audio, people are saying that there's some audio pulled from there that isn't native to the actual recording itself, that's been edited in. There's also talk about, apparently in one of the phone calls or one of the reports that the kid made, he talked about there being like a evidence of like a something landing, like a circle or something like that. And then people were calling that out, saying that if you look on Google Maps at the exact location, like there's a circle there, but that circle's been there for like months, years, like apparently.
Yeah, but maybe it's one of those things where he's just attributing that after the fact. Like, I'm just giving this kid the benefit of the doubt when he calls, like he's going out there and he's like, okay, this is where it happened. And look at this, there's a circle here. And he's just making connection, never noticed it before. But now you have internet sleuths going through and being like, he's obviously lying. Well, it's like, maybe he never saw that before. Because my thing is, you have, like, if you watch the body cam of the cops come, they're like, hey, we weren't going to take this seriously, but we saw something come down. And then they're like, they went back, they check it out. They're like, hey, we don't see anything there. And they're like, yeah, they left. And they go, deal with this yourself if they come back. We want nothing to do with this.
And then some people also pointed out how it seems a little bit strange that the kid who his YouTube channel popped up like a week after this occurred. And like just before the story broke, he published the channel. And then he's had other alien themed YouTube channels before.
Remove them.
Well, like, all 51. He's on iteration 51.
he's had other YouTube channels that have hosted like alien related content. Apparently, so there is.
But
there
we
is
don't that. Even know this kid's name right now. Like it, you cannot find this kid's name. It's not public knowledge right now. I haven't seen anything because I saw the reports being like this guy's been posting nonstop. I couldn't find one other channel that I could attribute to this guy with this kid. Let's see it. So if anyone can find it, show us.
Yeah. Or if they've been, removed,
you see this guy, then right, like, this is him letting you know. If you see him on another channel being like, yo, this is me on my alien channel.
It's your boy.
It's your boy. Smash that like and subscribe button. Let us know. Cause we're interested. But like I watched the full 7-minute video he posted and I was like, it seems legit. He just has a compiled. He's like, this is what happened. If you look here, this is what this video is. Like it's interesting to hear him talk about it. I didn't think for a second I watched the videos and I didn't go like, all right, this is chopped up. What I'll say the same thing I say with every video. If this is me, I would run the video way longer. Just saying, if you're filming an event, leave no room for doubt. Wait till you walk back in your house and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to end the camera. and then end it. When there's an abrupt like cut to footage, I always go, was that a turn off randomly? Like, or was there something, did they go, oh, it was nothing, right? You know what I mean? Like, just let it run out. If you, just for the people listening.
Raw, uncut. Yeah. That's what we want.
Yeah, raw, uncut. Yeah. So and, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. I don't give much weight to what James Fox says. I give way more weight to what my boy George Knapp says, especially now that we know that he was right with, he's been right all along.
Everything.
Right? Zell, are we going to open the Cosmic Lions tonight?
We have the capability.
Woo! You know what that means? You can call right now, 1-833-703-0424. Last bit of the show here. If you want to call in, you got any questions, we'll take your questions. You got any good story? They got to be goddamn good stories you're calling in. After we had the greatest story ever told never finished. The greatest story never finished last week.
Greatest story started four times.
Four times. Where were they going? I saw some people on the Facebook group, you know, posting like a video compilation of like maps and stuff. I thought I was kind of having a good laugh at that. Mm. But it'd be interesting. So yeah, if you want to call that, numbers on the screen, 1-833-703-0424. Now's the time. Call. Ask a question.
Ask a question. Give a theory.
Give a theory.
Short story. A quick story.
Let us know. But with the Vegas one, I think it's too early just to jump on one way or another. This is legit. It's a hoax. Because God damn, is it convenient. Was this kid just waiting for something to see an unidentified object? Or are we then going to say that he went as far as to like what the officers called that green orb is also his doing to like add credibility to this?
You want to take a call?
Yeah, let's take it.
All right. Let's bring someone on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Hi. Yes.
Can you hear me?
We got you.
You're a little quiet. I'm going to turn you up.
This is Bandito. Okay.
What's going on, Bandito?
Nothing. So, I called about the alien thing or the possible UFO thing last week, but I have a possible ghosty thing this time. But it also could just be, I like to say, a brain tumor. I don't know. So, let me tell you about it, and then you guys can decide.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, so all of my grandparents have passed. When my dad's mom passed way back when I was in junior high, so like 90s, she and my sister were pretty close. And when she passed, my sister would smell her perfume just randomly places. And it was a perfume that you couldn't buy anymore. It was a bottle that she'd had for a really long time. That kind of thing. So it's not like she was just randomly smelling on people, like, because it's in the store. It was, you know, a discontinued type of thing. Well, my other grandma, okay, wait, go back to this one. So her and I went camping up at her cabin one spring break, and she has a thing about always closing the upstairs blinds because the sun comes in and it heats the upstairs up, and it's just a cabin. There's no, like, AC or anything. It's just windows. So we went out to the river, and when we came back, she swears that she didn't put the curtains down because she had, my grandma passed, whatever. It was just us. We didn't care if it was open, and it was spring break, so it wasn't really hot. But when we came back from the river, we looked up at that window as we're walking in, and the blinds are down. And these are old, tough blinds. Like, you had to, like, really pull to the side to get them to drop, you know, and it was just a very weird thing. And at that point we were like, okay, we're going to go home now. We were going to stay another couple days, but we decided to turn around and just pack up and go home. She was freaked out. I didn't really care. Didn't really bother me, but she was,
but didn't actually see an apparition. Just the curtains were closed.
No, yeah. And like I said, they were really tough. So it's not like they could have slid down on their own. They never had before. It would have been a really weird thing to have it happen on its own at that time.
Sister, is she a boozer?
No.
Okay, no, well, scratch that off.
And at the time, she was 18 and I would have been 16. So technically too young to drink.
Technically, but so, we were all there.
Yeah. Technically. Okay, so then my other grandma, my mom's mom, was a super heavy smoker. Like, she would smoke in her prime a carton a day or a carton in a day and a half. Like, she was a smoker. And I can't stand cigarette smoke. It gets into my nose and it just burns, and I just can't get rid of it. Well, for several years now, I just at random times will just start smelling cigarette smoke. I can be completely alone. I can be at work completely alone in a big post office. I could be in the car driving on the freeway with the windows up. I can be at my house where nobody in my house currently smokes, and I will just start smelling cigarette smoke. And when the other people are around, I'll ask them, like, oh God, do you guys smell that? Is someone around here smoking? And nobody else smells it. Like, nobody. And they're like, no, we don't smell it. I'm like, oh, it's just me again. So I don't know. I think I'm being haunted by my grandma.
She's just following you around, puffing smoke in your face?
Packing darts?
I guess. She didn't like me. Like, she loved my sister because it was her first grandchild. And she loved my brother because he's the only boy and the youngest. I was the middle child. So I'm that typical middle child got screwed kind of thing, in my opinion. But she just didn't like me. She didn't really like anybody. She was kind of a grumpy old lady.
Did she like your siblings?
But yeah, I smell. Yes. So she just didn't really like me.
Here's maybe a comforting thought. So, maybe she follows you because she's not worried about them. And she's like, she's more interested in you because she was worried. She's like, Bandita was always into trouble. I better keep an eye on her. Right. And that's why she's following you and not them. Because she's like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like, I don't got to worry about those other two.
Okay. But I'm the perfect pet. I'm like never in trouble. My sister's the one who ran away. My brother's the one who got kicked out of the house. I'm like the perfect child. I really was. I was the middle child who took care of the older sister, took care of the younger brother, you know, made sure everybody was good after school. You know what I mean? Like, I was always a perfect kid. And I still am. But I've looked into it because it happens a lot. And there is like a brain thing for like senses or for smells. But usually it's like when people smell like toast or...
Does that mean you're having a stroke or something?
Yeah. Someone's having a stroke?
Yeah, that's having a stroke.
Yeah. So there's that one. And like there's other things that go along with certain smells. But cigarette smoke is like really low on the list. Not a lot of people report that one. There's other smells like cinnamon and toast and like, I think it's like peaches or something kind of weird. But like I said, I just always smell smoke. So I kind of feel like I'm just always being haunted. Like there's always something or someone, maybe not my grandma, but somebody else always around me that's smoking. It's crazy.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough one to tell.
Yeah. Or you're just on the cusp of an aneurysm at all times.
That could be. At some point, I'm just going to stroke out.
Yeah, there's really only two options.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to keep the lines rolling, but we appreciate y'all.
Bandito, just before you go, what do you think of the Vegas UFO?
So I didn't really see anything on it until you talked about it, but then I remembered that I did see a TikTok of somebody breaking down that fence video, and I just saw the broken down part where they were like, again, circling, like you were saying, and they talked about some big shadow thing that came over, like an 8-foot shadow thing that came up behind the fence as they were kind of going through it or kind of walking up to it. As they were also showing the little head and fingers at the bottom of the fence. But then when I saw the full video that you just played, they had a flashlight. The flashlight is obviously going to be making the shadow come over the fence. So that to me is explainable. The weird little fingery things, I mean, that could just be a play of the wood. I mean, the green light could have been just like a meteorite falling in that Zell needs to go to the light of.
Well, the interesting thing about this one is like, if this witness is a hoaxer, if he is a hoaxer, he's put himself on the line because he's committed a felony by filing, like by calling 911 and committing a hoax.
Right. I mean, there very well could have been something that fell into his backyard or, you know, in the area, which is obviously why the cops got the body cam footage. But, you know, if you see a shooting star and then you're like, oh, like I've been waiting for this day because now I can, you know, do this thing that I've been thinking about doing. Maybe they've done that type of thing. But, you know, hopefully there's like, more information.
The thing
comes
in
out
that video is like, I'm like, something. I don't like, I just, the other thing about that video that, I mean, the video, I don't give any credit to that. Like, oh, maybe there's something behind the bush. If you look through the windows and this nonsense, you can see something. But like the fact that they had like one of them had a gun out, I was like, that's, I mean, it feels like something was going on. But
well, I mean, he's looking for trespassers. At that point, to me, that would be he's looking for a human trespasser.
Yeah, but he's opening his gate, so it's not his property in the back. They're leaving their property, right? They're leaving the gated part of the property.
They have property behind the gate. Like maybe that's their, maybe that's like their parking area, you know, behind the gate. I don't know. But, you know, like an alleyway or something, right?
Possibly. All right, Bandito, we're gonna let you go get another call on. If you want to call the Cosmic Lines, 1-833-703-0424.
All right,
peace.
Thanks for calling.
Bye, guys.
Someone just posted this on Facebook. This Sean Paul Kinnan says this is from a military based newspaper in the U.S. and you see David Grunch, Third Space Experimentation Squadron. I think that's what it says there. I can't read it. It's so blurry. And
yeah, Gresh has a legit record. Like he is a real dude. Like, let's see, what is it?
He is real.
List of stuff. Yeah. He is a real person, an actual person. Let's see. What is it? See, Grush, like his stuff, he's 36. He's apparently a decorated former combat officer from in Afghanistan. He's a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, and the National Reconnaissance Office, NRO. He served as the reconnaissance office's representative to the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force from 2019 to 2021. And then from 2021 to late to July 2022, he was the NGA's co-lead on the UAP analysis and its representative to the task force.
They're legit.
So he has...
Those are credentials.
Did you not already say that at the start of the show? Or did I just think you said that?
No. I said that he had worked for the... I said that he was a intelligence office official with the UAP, U.S. Department of Defense agency.
Okay.
And talk about that. So yeah,
I think I was going to. I got a feeling of deja vu, and I was like, wait, did Dad say something, or did I just make that up?
No.
All right, we got one more caller here. Let's bring him on.
Let's go.
Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm actually on.
You are on live.
Holy hell! It's like a dream come
true. Dream bigger.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
You can
I don't
do
know.
Better, buddy.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm John. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
John from Oregon.
Not too far.
So is it any stories or encounters tonight or
stories,
what?
Questions, thoughts on theories, whatever you want. We'll give you 5 minutes.
So I've got one. Okay, cool. I'll go quick. I've been listening since the prolapse days, been meaning to call for OGP. A couple of years. Finally got the chance. So I got an alien one, I think, for you here. So you guys had a caller probably a couple of years ago, similar interaction, similar location. So I grew up in Northern California, kind of in between Lodi and Stockton, if you guys know where that is at all. And coming home late one night, this is all like farmland and stuff out here. Trying to get home way past curfew, I'm flying down these country roads. And there's a couple cars in front of me. Everyone's kind of slowing down. There's this giant kind of bright light hovering over one of these country roads. And didn't think anything of it. You know, a lot of times you get crop dusters or helicopters out there late at night a lot of times, not trying to like spook cattle and stuff during the day. Kind of slow down, see the cars kind of slowing down in front of me. It's probably 100 feet above the road. I slow down, have my sunroof open, not a sound, but it's bright. but bright to the point where it's like not emanating light. So like the ground wasn't lit up, but just this bright light in the sky. And I remember this really weird, like calm feeling, and then don't really remember much from there. Kind of just ended up home. No loss of time or anything like that. Like from when I was rushing home to get from curfew to when I got home, we're probably talking 5 to 10 minutes from where this interaction was to my house. So like no time change, but remember the bright light. And then the next thing I know, I'm talking to my mom as I'm coming in for curfew. Weirdest experience of my life. Don't really have an explanation for it, but first thing that kind of came to mind, because we used to get weird lights and stuff out there all the time. And it sounds like from other callers that have called in, this isn't the only time it's happened there.
Mm. What color was the light? Was there like a certain,
so what do you guys
like on the spectrum? Like, was it like a yellowish, well, whitish, greenish?
I initially thought it was like a, it was like a yellowish whitish, which is why I didn't think anything of it. I kind of thought helicopter or crop duster or something. Cause again, that's what we're used to out there, but it wasn't moving, kind of just floating there. And that was it. But the weird thing was that there was just, it was silent, like absolutely silent and not moving. But like, it's hard to describe like a size of the light, but it like wasn't something small. Like it catches your attention and it was very low to the ground.
Was it moving? Did you say it was moving? Like, did you lose sight of it eventually? Or did you just?
No.
No,
it was standing still. So this was the weird thing. It was standing still. And I remember like kind of driving under it, like a couple other cars had. And then this is the weird, like, don't really have a great memory of what happened next. I was just kind of pulling into my driveway all of a sudden. Mm. But there was like no like time loss or anything.
And when you say pulling, you were walking though, right?
No, I was
driving in case, but the no real time loss?
No.
Now?
No, I was driving. So where this happened on this country road, because I've taken this road a million times in my life, it was about 5 to 10 minutes from my house. And I remember flying down the road because I'm trying to make curfew home. And from when I'd kind of looked at my clock, seen the light and like gotten home, it's in that like 5 to 10 minute range.
For me, I'm just going to ask a question just because this is where my brain goes to. And I'm not saying that this is it. I'm just, there's like a difference like of what you experience, like the nothingness and say like what someone might experience. Like, you know, when you drive down, you're driving for a highway for a while and you just kind of get in your thought. And then all of a sudden you're like, I don't even remember driving the road.
Driving hypnosis.
Yeah. Driving hypnosis. Like it you don't think it's like, it's abrupt. Like, is it different than that?
It was different than that because I remember like seeing the cars in front of me slow down. So I like rolled my like windows down to be like, what's going on? Like, why are people slowing down?
And then just blank.
Like I remember, and then blank until I'm pulling into my driveway.
Could you imagine that? But could you imagine that all abductions prior to this, they just had the technology to just drop you back instantaneously, but they just like, they couldn't get their dials all fucking dialed up. So it was like, people were missing like 2 hour windows. They're like, we got to sort this shit out.
So on the test case, I was perfectly timed.
Yeah, perfect time. Just like, bam, gotcha. And back down. You didn't even know what happened.
Yeah, it was weirdest experience. And like, it's the only time that anything like this has ever happened to me. Like, I've seen lights and stuff, but like nothing like this. Like this was very much like, huh, that's weird. What's going on? And then all of a sudden I'm home.
Do you have, do you know your blood type?
Not off the top of my head. I have a card somewhere with it on it.
What's the
Rh one that negative?
It's not Rh negative.
I don't think that on your blood type card.
You should find out. I don't know. Don't they?
I don't think.
No, you're A or AB or O.
I think I'm something positive.
They'll put negative.
I think I'm something positive.
All right.
They'll give you your
value. You have to get specific. Yeah, they give you a specific test for that. But that most documentation.
But I do remember getting home and telling my mom kind of like, hey, like, I think I was like just looking at this light. And she was like, "Were you drinking tonight?" And I was like, "No, I just drove home. Like, what do you want?" So, just wanted to share. Thought you guys, if anybody would be able to.
No, definitely.
It, so.
But yeah, it's impossible to say what it really happened. Fucking weird. It's weird if that's
No idea. If you ever figured it out,
stuck with you though, so obviously it affected you.
Should try some
20 years ago,
hypnotic regression, man. Why not? Who knows? Unlock the horrors.
Maybe some
other traumas will you unlock?
Unlock the traumas and then call us back.
All of a sudden, he was actually on the spaceship for a week.
My whole life is a lie. I was fighting the battles in the caves of Mars. I had a life.
Wait.
I had a family.
Well, thank you, fellas. Right,
hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, appreciate the time.
For
don't want to take up too much.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Beautiful. Maybe we'll take one more call as the polls are closed. Mothman, 83% of the vote. Think
handily.
Mothman,
handily beating
that. Dan, you got a little... how it went down?
From what we can tell at this point, it seems like the Ruguru was heavily favored to win this one. Just his vicious nature and his arsenal of both claws and teeth, razor sharp things like that. He did possess. It was pretty sure from the weigh-ins that he was a little bit lighter, actually, which is you wouldn't expect that a flying creature versus this terrestrial dogman creature. More of a traditional werewolf type of build that the Mothman would be a little bit heavier, but it was seen that the Ruguru was like, it seemed like he had the edge and agility. But now, from what we can tell, the Mothman was able to get the aerial advantage on. And then boom, the Ruguru seemed to be keeping up with him while he was on the ground, like had him pinged in the corner for a second or two. But then the Mothman did something which he is actually known for is actually it seems that he broadcasted out like a large, bright pulse of light from his eyes, like a whitish red, and just stunned the Ruguru and then took to the air and came down with a absolutely enormous aerial slam maneuver that put the Ruguru down for the count. And that was it. And
the real downfall of the Ruguru is that he came forward and took off his white glove and said, "Sir, I do declare that I'm going to challenge you." Ah, dead.
Boom.
Right? There is no handshakes in Cryptic Crush Thon.
Yeah, the Ruguru's adherence to protocols and civility win. Yeah.
So Mothman's moving
on
to the quarterfinals. The Cryptic Crush Thon. There can only be one, so every week we're going to slowly whittle it down.
Pick away at the bracket.
Zell, did we have another caller on the line?
We have one.
Let's do it.
The pressure is on.
Yeah.
The final segment of the show. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, you're live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from California, Sacramento. It's Duchess of Toothies.
What's going
on? What's going on?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? All right. It's Duchess of Doobies. She's calling.
Oh,
from
Duchess of Doobies. Hell yeah.
Okay.
There we go. What do you got for us tonight?
How are you guys doing tonight?
We're fucking awesome.
Hey, okay.
Yes, you are. I either have a dead grandma possession or a hat guy sighting. Oh,
dead grandma possession.
You're going to make us choose between Lou Bega.
Not possession, and more like poltergeist.
More like a poltergeist?
God damn it.
Not possession?
Right, well, hit us with what you think's the best.
Yeah, you go. All the pressure's on you to end the story in the greatest possible way. So give us your best.
Well, the thing is, it's one story, but I don't know what it could be. So that's why we got to hear.
Okay, perfect.
So here we go. So I was living in Puerto Rico for the summer, staying with my aunt. She has 10 kids. So very busy household. The way that the apartments are set up, like our whole family lives in one building, essentially, and they took over all the apartments, essentially. So I moved out there for a little while after my grandma passed. And of course, the one empty apartment that is ready for me to stay for the whole, you know, summer is my grandma's empty apartment. So that already made it kind of creepy. So basically one night me and my cousins were in my grandma's room, which was obviously where the bed and vanity and everything was set up. We were getting ready to go out for the night. And my little cousin, she was at this time, I was probably like 16, still doing things we shouldn't have been doing. But my little cousin was about 9. And again, we're in Puerto Rico. So they bring up to me, I'm the Americanized cousin. So they bring up to me Bloody Mary. So I'm trying to be the big cousin, being like, that doesn't exist. That's fake, you know, this and that. Still don't believe in that, but okay. Just, you can decide what you want to decide at the end. So we go to the bathroom, shut the shutters. It's like those old metal shutters where you have to like crank them. It's not really like a window. Yeah. So we go in there. There's still a little bit of, you know, a little bit of light creeping through or whatever. My cousin's behind me and she's holding on to me and we're looking in the mirror and I'm like, look. So we say the deed, say it 3 times. We're looking at each other in the mirror like some dumbasses. And I'm like, look, you're good. We're chilling. So then we walk out and we continue getting ready for the night. Me and my older cousin, which was her sister. We're girls, so we're getting ready together. As I take off my shirt, my cousin, she says, what's that? And on my back, I had welts. It was 2 scratches. Each scratch had it had 3 lines. They looked like claws. And I had welts going down from the top of my shoulders to like my mid back. And no one had touched me within that 5 to 10 minute period of me going from in the bathroom to back to the bedroom. So after that happened, of course, we're like, okay, what the fuck? Okay, obviously we're kids, so we're like, you know, telling ghost stories or this could be that could be that, whatever. I'm still trying to be the big cousin and trying to be like, oh, that's nothing. It's nothing. Meanwhile, I'm shaking my fucking boots. So again, there's 10 cousins. So one of the older siblings comes in, a boy comes in and starts fucking with us. And he turns off the light and runs out of the room. So the way that the room is set up, there's like, you know, you walk into a room and there's just like a little tiny hallway and then the room opens up. I don't know if you can kind of imagine that. It's kind of like a tiny little corridor and then right. The room opens up. So that's where the light switch is where the door is, essentially, right next to the door. So he turns off the light. We're sitting on the bed and runs out. So my little cousin, which we just did the Bloody Mary thing, she's freaking out. So I'm like, it's okay. Obviously, I can't see in the dark. So my eyes are like trying to adjust. And so I get up. She's holding on to me by my waist. And I'm literally just waving my arms in like trying to catch a wall to get the light switch. As my eyes are adjusting, the light was on the hallway. So you could see the light coming through the bottom of the door just a little bit as your eyes start adjusting. And as soon as I made eye contact with what my brain was trying to figure out what the fuck this was, my cousin right behind me that was holding on to me, literally like just in complete tears, scream right in my ear. And I'm like, freaking out because I'm like, she must have seen whatever the fuck I just seen, even though we didn't even talk about it. So now I'm like basically just like scraping at the wall trying to get this light switch on. And as soon as I get the light switch on, obviously there's nothing fucking there. But I swear to you, as soon as my eyes adjusted, and it was like so cohesive, my eyes adjusted, I saw the silhouette. This motherfucker was just standing on the inside of the room. So you could see the silhouette. It looks like his arms or their arms were kind of like they're holding them above their shoulders, kind of like in like a menacing kind of thing. And it, you could see claws, and this motherfucker had a top hat on. I was like so confused. And then the lights come on, we're like screaming, what the fuck? And then everyone comes running in the room, and that happened. But yes, you guys need to tell me, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, well, everyone knows it's a fact. All of Puerto Rico is haunted.
This is true.
Exactly. And hey, she just passed away there, like literally not even a couple months. So we're already on our toes, like, yeah.
I mean, could be. Could be.
It's
well, that's
my how irresponsible are you to do this, to traumatize your little cousins like this?
No, I didn't. I swear, that's the thing. Like, if anything, they would have fucking traumatized.
Well, I know, but that's
me.
You involved like, them, they and they're obviously the ones willing this thing into existence. We don't have that kind of power. The little kids do, right? You were tapped into whatever they were imagining there, and they obviously summoned the Hat Man.
So the Hat Man takes Bloody Mary requests now.
The Hat Man could be many, many different forms.
He's a man of many hats.
I was just,
as they say.
There we go. Okay, because I was very confused how it started off with trying to poke fun at Bloody Mary, and then it ended up being fucking wealth and Hat Man sighting. I've never been able to understand the cohesiveness of that.
And did you ever have any issues like in the building or anything? Was it like a reoccurring thing where?
Oh yeah, fuck yeah,
getting haunted.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of it. We saw our grandma on the porch on the rocking chair a week after she passed.
Well, she's
so like people were down on the street walking past the buildings, because the way that these buildings are, it's four floors. You have your patios with the gated patio, and then it's only two apartments on each side. So like the stairwell's right in the middle. So. Yeah, there was at least two sightings where she was saw on her patio, just from our little building. It's a bunch of buildings together, but just from our building where our family is, a week after she passed, two people saw, they didn't know that she had passed, and they saw her on her patio, on her rocking chair.
She wasn't fully ready to pass.
Came back for a couple other, a little
haunt, I don't know. A little rock.
Seeing the Hat Man's a weird thing. I've seen him. Tons of other people have seen the Hat Man.
I've never experienced anything like that. That was the most fucked up shit. As far as like spirit entity, like that was really, really like random. You're fine.
Awesome.
Yeah. Dutch Stewies, we got to let you go. thanks for calling in.
And yeah, thanks,
if
guys.
If anyone else has ever seen the Hat Man and you weren't asleep, let us know. Give us a call.
Peace.
Next Cosmic Channels is going to be, or Cosmic Channels, ATT Live is going to be June 25th. You can check it out. Someone in the chat saying that we got to go to the judge's scorecard on that Rougarou Mothman, because if you kill a Rougarou, don't you become a Rougarou? So right.
Mothman is now also a Rougarou.
So Mothman is now also a Rougarou.
Yeah, we don't know the logistics of that one. If you want to support the boys, you can support us in the chat using the super chat function. Those of you who didn't know, there's hidden ones. If you tip the right amount, there's prizes, stickers, shirts, sweaters. None were triggered tonight, so I'm just going to leave them in there. There's four or five hidden ones. You know, if you give it some thought, you might think of them. There's some pretty good prizes to be won. Patreon.com/alientheorists. Anything else before we go?
That's it.
No.
All right. Peace. Everybody, keep those eyes on the skies.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.